Do you realize that church was never meant to be a spectator sport? It hasn't always been that people gathered to sit in rows facing one direction, kind of just looking at what happens on the stage. In fact, at its heart, the church is about participation. It's about involvement. It's about a sense of connection, a community of individuals serving one another in love. It's not just been about what happens on stage. It's about each person bringing a unique gift for the benefit and building up of everyone else. So in a very real sense, this is church. We are church. Now, throughout this series, though, we've been kind of focusing on this idea that God is building the church. And really important to get in your head, it's not about a building. It's about a group of people, a community of people, a radical, sort of like radically embracing diverse community of people that loves one another, that forgives one another, that is coming together all the time in a way that no group on earth does, in fact. And while it's made up of individuals, we are actually called to be one. Check this out, Ephesians, a letter that Paul wrote to a church, a group of people, that probably, by the way, didn't even have a building. He said this, "For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all, and is living through all." There's one. He said, this doesn't leave much room for doubt. We are called to be one, even though we are made up of a lot of different parts. In fact, this past week, if you were here this last Sunday, we talked about how the community of the body of Christ, this church, is meant to be made up of a lot of different kinds of people, and that's a good thing. And if you were here, I just want to thank you. If you were able to come out this past Wednesday night to a call to unity, we got to see that again, that though the body is a diverse thing, it is actually a beautiful thing, called to be greater than the sum of its parts, called to be one together. We are called to oneness, but don't miss this next verse. Ephesians 4:7 says, "However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ." We are a community united by our connection to Christ, but that creates a profound spiritual diversity. A spiritual diversity that looks like these gifts of grace that he has given to us. That word that is associated with this giftedness, it's this old Greek word called charismata. It's where we get this word charismatic from, charismata. It means gifts of grace. Gifts of grace, meaning they are gifts. They are not earned. You know, it hasn't been because we earned them. Nothing that we have done, it's freely given by God. They are power. They are ability from God, in order for us to accomplish the kind of God-sized purposes that he has in mind. Did you know that grace is the power that the church runs on? It's this freely given gift from God. Remember, now we're talking about the people, not the building, okay? It's this power that inhabits and moves the people. Think about it. We'll kind of bring this into 21st century parlance. Imagine if each one of us represented a part in a car, like God was building a car, right? Can get this in your mind. Well, wait a minute. God wouldn't build that car now, would he? Like, this is a Rambler. By the way, if you ever meet our South Campus pastor, Eric, that was his first car that he ever had, all right? God wouldn't make that kind of car. God would make a car more like this, wouldn't he? Yes, that's what I'm talking about. God, that's the kind of car that God is interested in. So imagine we're that car. We're all different pieces of that car. Ephesians says that we would be one. We're all one thing, but each of us have a different role. We have a different part that makes that car go. It would be grace that is making this thing go, but grace through us, this unearned, freely given power from God that enables us to move. We didn't make ourselves into a car. That takes an engineer. That also takes somebody to operate it and drive it, somebody who's fueling this whole thing. And the scriptures say that essentially is God. He puts this vehicle together, but then he inhabits it. He is designer of it, and he is the one who's fueling it, and it is designed to go somewhere. It reminds me of a story from the CEO, former CEO of Boeing and Ford, Alan Mulally. He had made tremendous advances in the field of aviation as a critical part of Boeing. He was CEO there for a long time, was an engineer, was a part of helping design things like the 747 and the 777. And he made these huge leaps forward. But then at some point, Ford asks him to come and consider being the CEO of Ford, you know, Motor Company. And he makes this huge switch from aviation into automobiles. And due to the economic impact of the automobile industry, it's a huge driver in our economy, and as well as a particularly rough run that Ford was going through at that moment, the media just like zoned in on this big transition. In fact, a lot of the local media there in the Michigan area where Ford is based really zoned in on this, and they were not going to just roll over and say, hey, here's the new aviation CEO that's here to run Ford. They really were like, you know, they'd seen some highs and lows, and they were going to ask hard questions. And in a particularly hard-hitting sort of like a press conference one time, these reporters sort of brashly asked Mulally if being the CEO of an airline manufacturer really prepared him for the highly regulated, nuanced network of automobile suppliers, buyers, manufacturers. And Mulally's there in front of, you know, a waiting crowd, press, you know, cameras rolling and everything, and he sort of coolly replies. He says, you know, an automobile has about 10,000 moving parts, right? Crowd sort of responded, yeah. He said, well, an airplane has about 2 million and it has to stay in the air. Kind of silenced a lot of the critics at that. It's pretty impressive. But do you realize that God is building something with billions of moving parts? It's us. It's the church, and it stretches across continents and cultures. It even moves across time and space, and together, He is integrating all of us through grace into the most glorious vehicle ever created. And here's a really cool thing. In God's church, there is room for everyone. There is room for everyone. No one is an accident to God. In His kingdom, everyone is wanted and all are planned for. And I know that kind of hits us at some level because, you know, we live in this world that honestly sees a lot of accidents all the time. But that's not how God sees it. In His mind, in His heart, in His engineering and planning, all are accounted for. And I don't think we realize how important that is to us until we remember that we live in a culture that is harassed by loneliness all the time. And it is haunted by a sense of meaninglessness that sort of drives us forward in life. The God that created the entire universe holds out community to our loneliness. And He invites us in our meaninglessness into an eternal purpose. He holds it out to you. And He holds it out in the humblest of forms, the local church. This is what I'm pulling you into. You are here, I know. I mean, I can see you. You're here. You're watching online somewhere. Do you realize, though, you could belong here? That is God's standing invitation to all people. You belong here. You didn't just wander in. You were made for this. If you want to step into it, it is there. And what I mean is, I don't mean, hey, you're invited to come enjoy religious services. That's not primarily what I mean. And I don't mean come be together in a building with other people. You are invited to be a part of a gifted community, being put together by God Himself. You belong here. And just like Kelly said for a minute ago, I'm realizing some of you have already started to step into that. For some of you, it's a brand new concept. But we wanted today for you to feel this celebration of those who are involved already, for those who have begun to recognize that they were knit together, they were gifted in grace, this thing by God for the benefit of other people. And we call those folks around here volunteers. And we just wanted to say today, with the video you saw earlier, with the games that you saw up here, a big thank you for the way you lead the way by using your gifts in service to other people. So one more time, could we just thank our volunteers for stepping out in front of us? Thank you. Thank you for being a living reminder that God inhabits the ordinary and makes it rich and meaningful. You're a reminder of what we all can move towards in belonging to be a part of the thing that God is creating. Now, I want to give you just though a quick confession. I did not understand any of this when I first put my trust in Jesus and became his follower. Church was simply a place to go to me, and a place I didn't really even go that often, to be quite honest. It was not a community for which I was made to belong and in which gifts of grace would come alive in me. I didn't see any of that. That was not on my radar when I thought of church. And it took some time for that to actually get clear to me. And I just wanted to share a little bit of what I learned in my journey of coming to understand this church thing and these gifts of grace and how it really works. In fact, I hope it helps you in your journey, wherever you are in that. In fact, if you've ever been curious about how you identify or use these spiritual gift things, or maybe you weren't when you walked in, but maybe you're now a little bit more curious of like, well, what is this and what's this all about? Here's just a few things that I discovered along the way, and many other people have as well, that could help propel you on that journey. In my experience, there were at least three like keys to discovering these unique ways that God had gifted me and called me to fit into this thing, the church that he is building. The first one is super simple, and it's really critical though. It's knowledge. Knowledge. Before you can identify what gifts God may have given you, you've got to know that gifts exist, like that that's a real thing, that they're out there. But then even more, you've got to know what kind of gifts are even out there. Like, what can you expect? Knowledge is the key that sort of opens that up to go, oh, I can't begin operating in it until really I understand what it is. Our primary knowledge of these gifts comes from the Bible. And there's several different passages and lots of different angles that it gives in this. But there's things like this sort of scattered throughout the Bible that speak to these gifts of grace. In Romans chapter 12, it says this, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, well, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Paul sort of lists out these are ways that God gifts people. He empowers them to do some things that advance his purposes in the world. And there are several passages like that throughout the Bible that give you knowledge about what a spiritual gift is, why it's given, and then how God uses that to build other people up. Now, I will say this. I don't believe there's necessarily an exhaustive list of spiritual gifts. The Bible lists out many of them, but honestly, there's a lot that you could also see that people operate in different capacities. And I'm not gonna go through all the gifts that even the Bible does mention right now, but I will say this, as you're walking out today, our next step sheet, they had to like shrink the font down, but we put a lot of the gifts that the scripture mentions, and it actually gives you like the scripture references. So if you wanna go and learn a little bit more, like I encourage you, like go do your research. If you really want to learn about this, go to the source and kind of like, okay, try these on for size. You may just go, I didn't even know that was a gift. I didn't know these things were out here. I really encourage you to grab this on the way out and dig into the scriptures. You may find that there's things that God kind of brings to life in you or shows you that you hadn't seen before. I will also say this sort of parenthetically, there's some opportunities coming up around here. If you get into this, you're like, I've got to learn more. Like you heard that thing about like, if your gift is to prophesy. Now, like, what does that mean exactly? There's a fantastic workshop coming up on March 15th and 16th called Hearing God. It's a Hearing God workshop. And it really focuses on some of this aspect of how do you learn to hear from God and then speak out of what you feel like you've heard from God. Things like you'll see in the list, like a word of knowledge or prophesying, speaking kind of God's truth. These are things that are a little bit more mysterious, but there are people who are gifted this way and are ahead of us in that journey. Maybe you would like to set aside some time. I sat through this workshop over at our South Campus location. It was fantastic. Some of you may really be benefited by that. Likewise, at the end of April, there's another workshop called Advance. That sort of brings together a bunch of different things like spiritual gifts, sort of tests that you can take, personality, strengths, all these sort of things, and go like, wait a minute, maybe God wants to use all those things to sort of narrow in to reveal to you how you're best crafted to be a part of his body. That's towards the end of April. But those, both the Hearing God workshop and Advanced workshop are going to be huge steps in sort of amassing knowledge about what it is and about yourself too. But here's what you can know, okay, about when you can bank on these things when it comes to what a spiritual gift is. First, it's a God-powered ability to build other people up spiritually. It's a God-powered ability. It's not just you on a good day, okay? Like, there's a difference between some things that maybe you're like naturally wired at or you have a talent for. It's different when God inhabits these gifts. For example, there are great leaders around the world. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you follow one of them. You know, there's organizations that have fantastic people at the helm, and they're naturally wired, perhaps, to be a leader or an influencer. But the spiritual gift of leadership is empowered and used by God to build people up spiritually, meaning it advances God's purposes in the world. Not just a company, not just a bottom line, not just your own human cause, but it's something he wants to see done. Now, that, for example, that doesn't mean that you have to be a pastor, okay? It doesn't mean that, well, I guess I must have to go lead the church. Not necessarily. It doesn't even mean that you have to use that spiritual gift inside the walls of the church building. But the result of you using a spiritual gift is the advancement of God's kingdom in some way or another. It's the same thing for teaching or hospitality and all sorts of the giftings that you'll see listed there if you take a look at that next step sheet. They may have been given to you by God at your birth, or they may have been sort of poured into you in a special way when you became a follower of Jesus, but they advance his purposes. Which is also kind of the second thing that you can always bank on. It's given for the purpose of serving others, of building other people up. It's not just there for your own personal enjoyment, like, wow, I like having this gift and I just want to go use it sometimes or use it on people. No, we use it for the benefit of building other people up, which actually leads me to the second key in discovering these gifts, and that is proximity. You gotta know what the gifts are, but then you have to actually be in proximity to use them. If you're gonna discover what it is that God has wired you and sort of crafted you, he's poured grace into you to do and to best utilize those gifts, you've gotta actually get close enough to other people to use them, because that's what they're for. They are used to build other people up. Spiritual gifts don't work great in isolation. They really don't, because they're made to work together with other people. We are meant to function together. And a lot of times here at Gateway, you'll hear us describe living connected. It's one of our core values. It means to be in proximity with each other, to be kind of learning how to work together with others. It's an essential part, by the way, of getting the opportunities to utilize the gifts that God has given you and to get feedback from other people. Like, a lot of times we may think we are wired a certain way or we want to be wired a certain way, but it's being in proximity where you actually start getting feedback from other people going, I think God has sort of crafted you and wired you this way. Which is a quick aside, you may have heard, if you've had any like kind of church background, there are things called like spiritual gift tests or spiritual gift assessments or inventories out there. I just wanna say a quick word about that. There really is some value in doing assessments like that. If you've never done it before, it could be really helpful to even kind of get this rolling. But they are sort of like self-administered tests, which, like any self-administered test, the reliability of it is always a little bit questionable because it can often be a reflection of really what you want, not necessarily who you are. You know, things like, hey, this is what I would prefer to see about myself, or here's things that are just maybe most on my mind right now. You not knowing your spiritual gifts and going to want to take a spiritual gifts test may not be as much about taking the test or taking it correctly. It really could be you're not close enough to the other members of the body so that they can help guide you through reflecting back to you what it is that God has given you. Those gifts show up best in community with other people, in connection with them. To truly discover your spiritual gifts, you're gonna have to be in proximity to other people to utilize them. You can't just go take a spiritual gifts test and say, I have these four, that's what I got. Be in connection with other people, and you'll start actually picking up. You know, those may be it, but there may be aspects of those or even things you never saw that didn't come to life until you were in proximity, serving with and serving others. Which leads me to kind of the third key that I discovered along the way is it's experimentation. Like, there's a part of this you're like, you wish that God would sort of give you a manual. Here's the two gifts that I've given you, and here's how they work. Please use them on this dates with these people. Like, it doesn't work like that at all. It's experimenting with it. Figuring out your spiritual gifts, by the way, isn't primarily about being able to name them. I know my spiritual gifts. It's about being able to operate in them. And the only way you're going to discover how you're gifted, as well as how to grow in that gifting, is to take action. So much of learning how to operate in spiritual gifts is about actually doing them. This is what Paul wrote to his protege Timothy in 2 Timothy 1. He says, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you." He's saying, Timothy, God poured something into you, but you're going to have to activate that. You're going to have to actually work at it. Work in cooperation with God. Experiment with it. Go for it. You've got to act on the opportunities that come your way. What happens when you start acting on it? You're like, maybe I have this gift. I'm not really sure. I'm going to act on it. You know what happens when you run an experiment? You compile data. You start going like, wait a minute. I see this. Some of this is getting reflected back. I see this and that. And you watch God's grace show up in and through different ways through you to other people. But I tell you, it's not a risk-free proposition. Any experiment doesn't, I mean, there could be chances that it doesn't always go the way that you'd hoped. It is inherently experimental. I remember watching this, like, for example, when it comes to hospitality, I have tried to grow in my ability to be hospitable. And I don't mean to say that I'm completely inhospitable, okay? I don't turn people away from my house. I'm not mean to people when people walk through the doors and all that sort of stuff. But here's what I've noticed. As I've tried to do this and been in different opportunities, like when there's been an opportunity to like sort of host something that would advance people spiritually, I have a hard time thinking of what would make this environment conducive to that. Or even putting it all together feels like real work to me. And it's like, it's often counterintuitive to me as to what would actually help somebody feel at ease in this? Or what would create like a great aesthetic in this environment? Or where do people need to be stationed so they know where to go and who to connect with as people are walking in? Those are oftentimes afterthoughts for me. But I've watched other people who intuitively sort of operate that way. They sort of step in and they bring order. They bring this sense of calm. They bring this welcoming and belonging. And I watch them and I'm just going, you do in your sleep what I work hard at, and I'm still not even remotely good at it as you. On the flip side, though, there's been things along the way like teaching that I've found actually come very natural to me, and I've watched God kind of bring a level of fluidity to it. Like, for example, some people have reflected back to me, man, the idea of getting up on stage and talking to a big group of people scares the living daylights out of me, and I'm going, yeah, I get that, but it doesn't really feel that way to me at times. Or the idea of sitting and studying the Bible and preparing all this, for some of you, you'd be like, please just hit me in the head with a hammer before I have to sit down and do that. But for me, that actually brings life along the way. And so it's been through a little experimenting. I tried teaching one time when I was a college student and had a blast. Like, I came off of that experience feeling charged up. And other people were benefited too. But it only came as I would kind of like step out and like teach a small group lesson or something like that. It came through little steps along the way. This wasn't like step number one. So for you, where do you need to experiment along the way? As you're working through those experiments, though, you might be helpful to know what you're looking for. Like, what is the evidence of a successful experiment? How do I know when I'm operating in the spiritual gift? What's it look like? What's it feel like internally? And I just wanted to offer you kind of another just three kind of quick thoughts. I'm calling them like paths to use if you're discerning a spiritual gift. Like, is it operating the way that God would want it to? The first like path of discernment, like as you're experimenting, is listen to those around you. Listen to them. What gets reflected back to you? It's not the only thing that you pay attention to, but it's a great piece of feedback. Again, kind of the thing with the spiritual gifts test, you can read those things and kind of self-assess, but when you start to get multiple data points of people reflecting something back to you, you're like, wait a minute, is there something here? Is this kind of a repeated way that I see God using my life? What gets affirmed by people who are actually in proximity to you, who've been around you, who've gotten to know you. The community of the church will help you discern when you're operating in your gifting. It can also help you discern when you're operating out of your gifting too. It can be people who love you enough to say, you know what, something about this doesn't seem like it's bearing good fruit in you, and it feels like we're constantly missing. Let's try to move this direction. That's all part of it. That's experimenting. And we need the feedback of the people around us. It begins informing your own sense of gifting. For example, as you look through some of these giftings, you may be going, well, how would I know I have the gift of faith? Well, this says it's the divine strength or ability to believe in God for unseen supernatural results in different parts of life. Is that you may be along the way talking with people and you've got this kind of like confidence, this hope that God is going to do something that he said he would do, or God is going to do something you feel like he's called, and other people sort of latch onto that and they find faith through your faith. You're leading them in faith, and then sure enough, God shows up and they start reflecting back to you. You know, when you said that, I don't know, it gave me hope to believe that one way or the other, and I stepped into that. Or pastored and shepherding. This is a lot of times the way that some of our group leaders are sort of gifted, the divine strength of the ability to care for the personal needs of others in a way that sort of propels them towards God. That's one of those that as you begin experimenting, you're like, wait a minute, I've had multiple people say to me, you know what, when you walked with me through that season, not only did I get cared for and I felt like you genuinely cared about what was going on in my life, I found myself moving step by step towards God, even in the middle of great difficulty. That could be in a one-on-one, that could be in a group. All these sort of things start coming to life when you start listening to the people around you. But you've got to be in proximity and you've got to be paying attention to go, wait a minute, I'm listening to them. What are they telling me about the ways that God is using my life to serve them? A lot of those gifts need that time and space with people to start getting reflected back to you. But listen to the people that are around you. Second, kind of another path of discernment that can also help you in that is to pay attention to what happens in you. Pay attention to what happens in you. When you operate in a spiritual gift, you're tapping into one of the reasons you're alive. You're living deeply from the design that the creator of the entire universe gave you. He's knit you to be a part of this, and you're tapping into that. And it leaves a mark when you step into that place, when you step into the groove of what you were created for. Does operating with that gift bring joy into your life? A lot of times people who are operating in their gifting experience an exhilaration, meaning it's like this rush of trusting God because they experience him meeting them as they do this or that. It's this sense of being like fully activated. For those of you athletes, you may be able to reference this of like, you know, when you're in the zone, when it's just like time passes quickly, you're almost like living it automatic. That's a lot of times the internal experience of walking in this gift of grace. It's this thing that sort of like you're in this groove, you're in this zone. It's almost effortless to you. Now, that doesn't mean, by the way, that operating in a spiritual gift is always easy 100% of the time. Sometimes it requires great perseverance. Even in the middle of difficulty, you may sense grace empowering you, but it doesn't mean that it's all just sort of smooth sailing. Sometimes it's a real uphill climb even to use that gift. Perhaps that's one of the reasons God gave it to you. It's because there's a real need for you to operate that way. But there's usually this sense of internal joy, kind of a satisfaction that comes when you're utilizing one of these gifts that God has given you. So there's the reflection back to you from the people. There's this internal barometer, but then also there's this. Watch for it to bear fruit. Meaning if you're using a gift that God is truly inhabiting, then it's going to bear fruit. Good things are going to come as a result of it. Because think about this. This is a really hard distinction for us, especially because we have all these movies and literature and all this. We tend to think of these spiritual gifts as kind of like magic, right? You've been endowed with magic, or you know how to use the Force in a specific way or something like that. Sorry, I saw the Star Wars shirt. we can operate thinking like spiritual gifts are like this, like it's this innate power that we have, and sometimes we can just sort of like believe in ourselves enough and now we can use it. Spiritual gifts don't work like that. It's not this innate power that you have on your own, and it's not a power you can manipulate like magic. for your own purposes. It's grace. And that means it's an active cooperation with another person. It's God. God is giving you grace. He's helping you do what you cannot do on your own. But when God acts with you, you should expect some fruit, okay? Because God does things that human beings can't do. He can produce results that you can't manufacture on your own. There's an aspect, when you're using a spiritual gift, you realize, I can't take credit for that. Like, that happened, and I know I was a part of it, but there's a real awareness of, like, I couldn't have manufactured that result. There's an effectiveness. There's this sense of blessing. There's a power to it that you know, nah, that didn't come from me. Like, I was there, I was present, I was involved, but that wasn't me. Because it impacts people at a level you can't get to. It provokes transformation in them in some form or fashion. Ultimately, it draws them at least a step closer towards God. And that's God's grace working through the gift he gave you. There was a great example just recently over in our early childhood building. One of our volunteers was kind of getting ready for the day, and it was just one of those days. Maybe you've had this, like, when you're getting ready for work, or maybe you volunteers have ever had the feeling of, like, you know, I don't know if I really want to do this today. Like, you kind of, you know, you sort of, like, gut check, and you're like, I'm not sure this is the right thing. And the volunteer, as she tells it, came really close to just saying, I'm not going to be there today. But kind of got this, like, nudge, felt like maybe it was from God to go, like, you know, you're supposed to be there. So she kind of went, and wasn't maybe the most, like, happy day, but it was like, you know, I'll be there. So shows up, and while she's there, there's somebody who's kind of, who's dropping off her daughter. And the daughter is not having a great day, okay? This is a little kid, early childhood, under like 5 years old. And a not great day with somebody under five is usually loud. It's really kind of a scene-making sort of thing. And that's what was happening. But this volunteer, even though wasn't like priority one to be there today, sort of just was moved to action, stepped in, cared for this little girl, tried to help her feel really like at home, kind of just loving on her, made her feel really welcome and calmed her down. And it gave mom, who seemed to be there on her own, enough, like, kind of breathing room to sort of step away and went to service. They had a great time. She and this volunteer had a great time over there, you know, learning about God, you know, singing, doing all this sort of fun stuff. And then when the mom came back, the mom came up and was just saying, I just want to say thank you. I'm a single mom, and I really needed that time over in church today, just kind of connecting with God, worshiping, and really experiencing. I just want to say thank you so much. And I could tell that you really, you know, jumped in there. And the volunteer was just like, sure, yeah, glad to help. And it was kind of like stunned, realizing I didn't even want to come in today to do any of this. So the mom and the daughter start to walk away, and the volunteer feels this little nudge to just say, you know what, I just want to tell you this, like, I didn't even really want to do this today, but I just felt like I was supposed to be here. And I had no idea that what you just told me was the reason why I was supposed to do. And the mom and the little girl turn around, and they're just like, you have made a bigger difference in our life and our week than you would possibly know. Thank you so much for listening to God. Like, we are so, like, built up by this. And this volunteer who didn't even want to be there that day is, like, walking away going, like, I can't believe God used me in that way. And here's what I want to know. I don't know exactly what spiritual gift is at work there. Listening to it, and if you look at the gifts at the list, there could be, like, helps, like, meaning I'm serving somebody in a place where they need. It could also be, I really wondered as I listened to that, if there's, like, not a gift of encouragement at work there, like encouraging this little girl when she walked in, help her feel at ease and welcome, kind of lifting her spirits. And then also being there to encourage this mom as she tries to pursue Jesus in that way. I don't know. But I do know that God made an impact that day through that volunteer's willingness to be there and to serve somebody else. It bore fruit in somebody else's life. Which is a great point, because while serving here at church really is a great way to serve, it's a great way to use your gift, it's not just about finding a certain role where you can officially use your gift. Like, is this role only about utilizing this spiritual gift? Well, I'm not interested unless it's only that. A spiritual gift, a gift of grace, it travels with you wherever you go. And many times, it's using the gift right where you are instead of looking for a specific role to utilize that gift. In fact, very few people use their gifts in a professional capacity, okay? Like, that actually is very rare, but that doesn't mean it's a hindrance to God's purposes. In fact, it could be exactly what he's looking for. Like, for example, like serving over there with kids and students. Can I just be honest for a minute? I know there are many of you who say, you know what? I don't think I'm called to serve with kids, okay? I've not been gifted. I don't have the gift of kids or something like that, which honestly, I don't even know if that is a gift. The way that I have three at home and I don't even know if I have that gift, okay? But here's what I know. Kids are people. They are part of the body of Christ. They're just small. And they need you to use your gift with them. They need pastors. And I don't mean a pastor with a title. I mean somebody who operates as somebody who brings spiritual care and love over the long haul to somebody's life. They need teachers. They need people who thrive in hospitality and making a welcoming environment for four-year-olds who are having a bad day. They need people who operate in the gift of encouragement. And a lot of these gifts that are on here, almost any gift can be used in a capacity to serve as a kid's volunteer because they are part of this body as well. And likewise, it looks different for all these different gifts. For example, like the gift of giving. You may go, well, I'm not a billionaire and I don't have a desire to be a professional philanthropist. Guess what? Very few people are ever going to do that. But God may have given you the capacity to make money for the purposes he wants funded. God does that. He gives people this gift of giving. For example, right now, I'll just say this, just kind of be completely honest. Here at North Campus, our budget is under what we're expecting. And real quick, by the way, if you're brand new here, you know, you can totally take a pass on this. Tune me out for just a second. But if you're a part of Gateway, then you should probably know by now that the way we set our budget is based on projections. Like, here's what we sense and believe, kind of based on past history and prayerfully. Here's what we think people will be generous and give along the way. And as the year goes, we have to adjust what we are actually planning to do based on the giving that's coming in. And so far, we are beneath what we were anticipating at this point, right around 11% underneath what we were anticipating being. So, by the way, if you're here and you are a part of this body and you have been waiting to start giving, you haven't given in a while, that sort of thing, I just want to say, gift of giving or not, you're totally welcome. That's part of what it means to be a part of this body, working together to support each other. But there are some of you whom God has sort of supercharged with this gift of giving, meaning he's put you in a position in life, maybe a job, maybe a capacity to make money, and perhaps he's brought blessing your way so that you could be a part of helping the church thrive in just such a time as this. It could also be that there's somebody in your sphere of need, there's somebody in your sphere of influence that has a need, and you're there with abundance while they're lacking. That's a lot of the times the way that gift of giving works. But utilizing your gift doesn't have to just come within the confines of this building. It doesn't have to happen when you're on this campus. In fact, God may have given you that gift to outwardly focus towards advancing God's kingdom out into our city or into different places in our world. We'll talk a lot around here about networks. Networks are sort of these organic groups of people that serve another group of people. There's lots of them that you can check out on our website or learn about at Starting Gate. Groups like Anchor, that's are a group of 20s and 30s reaching out to serve 20s and 30s, kind of in that zone of life, just trying to build them up to advance God's kingdom in that zone of life. There's Grow Together Garden that kind of pulls together a lot of people with this love of organic gardening, but really becomes a doorway to what might God want to do in them spiritually to grow and sort of fertilize their life. There's our Marketplace Network, which is just getting started. In fact, they meet over in the garage this Thursday afternoon. It's a group of people, business people, that are coming together to grow, but to also be connected together in community. There's even a brand new women's hiking network for the outdoor enthusiasts that just want to get together and grow like this. This is all about a group of people serving kind of another subset of the people of Austin, and all the gifts are needed in each one of those networks as those groups come together to serve other people. There's a lot of different ways that you can utilize the gifts that God has given you. In fact, a good friend of mine operates at work. It was so cool. Just recently, he was just telling me this. He goes, you know what? I feel like God has wired me to be a pastor, but not in a church. It's like I'm called to be a pastor right where I am in my job. And believe me, his title has zero to do with being a pastor. But he has watched God start to bless and utilize him right where he is. There's lots of ways to use those gifts. Now, I do want to say this. As you start to look at some of these gifts, some of them, like I mentioned earlier, may be a little bit more mysterious to you, and we don't want you to be uninformed about that. Gifts like prophecy or healing, how does that actually work? Or maybe you've heard of people speaking in tongues or other languages, miracles. How do those gifts work, and what are they for? Well, next week, John Burke is going to be here, and we're going to be talking about how those gifts, in some unique ways, open the door for us to be a supernatural community in ways that, frankly, don't make any human sense, but it's a unique thing that God wants to do. There's a lot of confusion about this. Maybe you've experienced some of that in the past. Come, be here next week. We're going to really dive into this, and I think it's going to be a really important week as we conclude that series. But here's what I want to end with you, okay? Where do you need to experiment, okay? Where do you need to take a step, like to work towards discovering the gifts that God has given you? Maybe you need a place to get rolling. Maybe you just need to fan them into flame somewhere along the way. But here's the thing. You're kind of going, you know, I want to live connected, but where do I begin? Where do I start? Well, starting gate is right over here, okay? In fact, as we wrap up here today, I'll give you a special invitation. If you've been looking for a place to begin, the reason I've walked all the way over here, which is not as far as you think, by the way, is to remind you, if you need a place to start learning how to live connected with other people, this is why this is here. You could just go, you know what, I gotta begin somewhere, and Starting Gate could really help me get kind of the lay of the land to utilize the gifts that God has given me. Regardless, though, remember, church isn't a spectator sport. It's not about just what happens up there. It's about what's happening out here. You were designed and meant to participate. You were designed to be involved because you are made to belong.